pink salmon was a pretty big year, but there'll be bonuses coming out later, so that'll increase the fish tax from pink salmon later, and which look makes it look a little better, and the quotas are a little bigger on crab, and cod prices are up. I'm just kind of generalizing where we are as a world, but and I do know I asked a few questions on my personal behalf and at the boat show about the future of Akutan, and other people may have information, but this is unofficial information just from me talking to individuals, and everything's on hold as far as their move, which helps our planning for spending in the future. Anyway, that's it. 2 cents worth.
Okay. Anyone else? Hearing none. Question on a motion. What happened?
Can you hear us, Beverly?
Yes, sorry.
Welcome, Beverly.
Beverly, question on the motion?
Yes, sorry. Josie?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Glenn?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. And your investment report is in your packet. Who's cider? Okay. So on our consent agenda, we have two resolutions. So we need a motion and a second to bring the consent agenda to the floor.
This is Brenda. I'll make that motion to bring the consent agenda as presented to the floor.
Thank you.
I'll second, Glenn.
Thanks, Glenn. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. So there are two resolutions. The first one is Resolution 2622, adopting an alternative allocation method for the FY26 Shared Fisheries Business Tax Program and certifying that this allocation method fairly represents the distribution of significant effects of fisheries business activity in the FMA2 Aleutians Island area. And then we also have Resolution 2623 that does the same thing for the FY26 Shared Fisheries Business Tax. However, it's for the FMA3 Alaska Peninsula area. So this is an annual thing that comes before the Assembly. We have to have this approved and fill out the paperwork by February 15th of 2026 to get these funds. But basically, the state of Alaska levies taxes on fishery resources processed or exported from Alaska. The state allocates a share of the state fish tax collected outside the municipal boundaries with the communities affected by the fishing industry activities. And this would be based on the FY 2024 fishery activity. So the FMA2 is for the area municipalities within FMA2 or west of UNIMAC, and they receive an equal share of 60% of the program receipts. The eligible cities will share the remaining 40%. And for the FY26 allocation, we're looking that the borough would receive about $72,000. And this, of course, is subject to change. And then the other one is for FMA3, which is municipalities east of UNIMAC, and they will share equally 40%. And the remaining 60% will be divided among the eligible cities based on a per capita basis. And FY26 allocation should be approximately $1,423. So this is just a standard thing we do every year. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thanks. Any questions, anyone?
No.
Paul?
Yeah. There's no substantial change from the previous year on this road. Yeah. Thank you.
Other question?
Mr. Mayor, just got a quick question here. I was looking at the second one, FMA3. On population-wise for cities, I'm a little surprised on the. Is this for 2025 or these numbers for the population and community?
It's off the 2024 data.
Oh, okay. Wow, surprised to see the difference in the large communities.
Okay. Other comment? Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Jim?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Glenn?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. We have, we don't have anything under public hearings or ordinances. So our next item is Resolution 2621, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract agreement between the Aleutians Eastboro and Hickey and Associates for lobbying consulting services for 2026. We need a motion and a second to bring to the floor.
I make a motion that we bring Resolution 2621 to the floor.
This is Brenda, I'll second.
Thank you, Brenda. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. As Mayor Osterbeck stated, this is to authorize the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract agreement with the borough and Hickey and Associates. As you all know, of course, the borough is involved in numerous projects and issues that requires assistance from our state lobbyist. Mark Hickey with Hickey and Associates has provided lobbying and consulting services for the borough since 1998. The 2025 contract with Hickey and Associates does end December 31st, 2025, and can be renewed by agreement of both parties. The proposed 2026 contract would begin on January 1st, 2026 and end December 31st, 2026. The borough would pay Hickey and Associates a retainer of $3,500 a month and also, if needed, reimburse for pre-approved extraordinary out-of-pocket and travel expenses. Hickey and Associates does pay his own annual APOC registration fee and any office overhead. And this contract is the same as it was last year, and there are no changes. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you. Question? Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Chris?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Glenn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Thank you.
Josie?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. So before us, we have Resolution 2624, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute an agreement with the law office of James F. Clark to provide legal representation for the land exchange in an amount not to exceed $150,000. We need a motion and a second.
I'll make a motion to bring Resolution 2624 to the floor.
Thank you.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Chris. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. So this resolution does allow the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with law offices of James F. Clark, whom he goes by Jim, to provide the legal representation for the land exchange in the amount not to exceed $150,000. Jim Clark has been involved in the King Cove Road project for years, and he has been representing the King Cove group currently throughout the land exchange process and working very closely with Fish and Wildlife Service and the King Cove Corporation as well. He is requesting authority and funding to respond to pending complaints and motions by environmental non-governmental organizations, which is the NGOs, who seek to set aside the October 21st, 2025 land exchange on behalf of the King Cove Corporation, the Aleutians Eastboro, and the City of King Cove. The current request is for $120,000, and there's a memo attached here that outlines that in more detail. However, based off a lot of experience, I am recommending that we do allow for a $30,000 contingency fee for any unexpected or unanticipated expenses that may come in the future. Per this, Jim Clark is requesting the authority to provide the legal representation on the three pending complaints that have been filed with the federal court for the District of Alaska. And these cases are outlined accordingly in here. He also outlines the current status, the next steps, what he anticipates the sequence of events to be, possibly what the NGO's legal arguments will be, and the legal work outlined below that Glenora is showing on the screen here, and the hours he believes will be associated with each task. He does charge $300 per hour. He anticipates this to be about 375 hours worth of work, and then, of course, possible some out-of-pocket expenses as well. Based off of this, the borough would enter into an agreement with the Law Office of James F. Clark in amount to exceed $120,000, if I mentioned. We'd have $30,000 available if needed. And then he would also enter into a separate agreement with the King Cove Corporation. Even though they won't be paying anything, there'd be an engagement letter on their behalf as well. And we do have funds available for this in the King Cove Access Project designated legislative grant. We have a grant there that's been sitting there for years, and this is what this is meant for. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thanks. Any questions? Paul?
Any, when was the last time we've talked to Mr. Clark in person? I'm trying to remember.
The assembly, I don't know if they've ever talked to Jim Clark in person. I have, but.
Anyway, maybe it'd be good if opportunity presents itself in the future. I'm in favor of this motion. Those three lawsuits that are coming up are pretty serious, and he definitely has the background and qualifications to do the work. And I've talked to him in person too. Thank you.
And just to clarify, he is based out of Juneau, so we would have to arrange something, you know, for that to occur. But yes, I agree. Wouldn't hurt.
Other comments, questions? Okay, question on the motion?
Paul?
Yes.
Glenn?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. So before us, we have resolution 2625, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute an agreement between the city of St. Paul and the Aleutians East Borough for collecting and remitting taxes on Northern Region Bering Sea Snow Crab and Central Bering Sea Fishermen's Association Bering Sea Snow Crab delivered in Actan in 2026. We need a motion and a second.
This is Brenda. I'll bring resolution 2625 to the floor.
Thank you, Brenda.
Ms. Josie, I'll second.
Thank you, Josie. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osprey and Assembly. So as Mayor Osprey said, this resolution is regarding negotiating a memorandum of agreement between the City of St. Paul and the borough for the collection and remittance of taxes on the North Region designated and the Central Bering Sea Fishermen's Association undesignated Bering Sea snow crab delivered in Accutan in 2026. We did have a workshop earlier today to go over this, but just for the record, I would like to go over some of the basics, and then Ernie, if you could chime in as well. But basically what is being asked is that the borough collect and remit taxes on the North Region crab that would have been delivered in St. Paul. And we would provide through a standalone tax MOA for the borough, 2% of our tax to St. Paul for that portion of the crab. It also would have us pay the City of St. Paul 1% on the CBSFA undesignated portion of crab that would be delivered in Accutan. And that crab is about equivalently 257,000 pounds of crab for that. That's just kind of a framework of what the agreement would be. Now, City of St. Paul also wanted the borough to enter into the framework agreement, which the deadline for that was October 15th, 2025. And based off legal counsel and other discussions, it is not recommended that the borough enter into a framework agreement because we are not an IPQ, we're not an IFQ, and we're also not considered an affected community. So based off legal advice, we would not enter into a framework agreement. We also would not enter into an exemption contract, once again, based off legal advice, that's not recommended as well. And not only does legal agree with that, but NOAA, through NIMS, also has opined in that direction as well. So the one we would enter into would be a tax MOA. I'm sure there's more. Ernie, do you have anything else to add?
Only the resolves, which knows that the borough recognizes the validity of the friends agreement and the proposed exemption contract that has not been finalized, but it will be by December 31st, will be approved by PIT on behalf of the city of Ashcan. And then be it further resolved, the assembly authorizes the mayor to negotiate an executive memorandum of agreement between us and the city of St. Paul for collecting remaining taxes on northern designated Bering Sea snow crab and undesignated shares owned by CBSFA. Now, so there's 3.1 million pounds of designated northern. Some of that's going to go to Dutch Harbor, some of it, if this is agreed to, would come to Acton, and the same with the undesignated 257,000 pounds. That there is some share matching that will go on that hasn't yet happened, and so we'll get a piece of that. There are benefits to the fishermen, to the processors, and to the communities. There's going to be other crab that will be processed, hopefully, in Acton. So, if I was going to go, which one thing we didn't go through was this work session materials. As Annie mentioned at the work session, the crab rationalization program was set up in 2005, 2006, but they realized they were going to have an exemption process, and that was set up in 2013 by Amendment 41. There's a link to that in this. Then there's a link to the agreement that Unalaska had last year, which was basically just northern shares. And then there are several draft agreements that have come out since we've been working on this. John Curlin answered some questions, which kind of backed us up on some of the decisions. I show how the snow crab has gone up and down. And then Annie put together some real good memos based on legal input. And those are also attached here and behind the resolution memo.
And to clarify, this is for 1 year only.
This will be a 1 year agreement. Hopefully next year, if this comes up again, we'll start the discussions well in advance, rather than 3 weeks, just given 3 weeks. So yes, it is a 1 year agreement.
So, Paul?
Yeah. I guess I'm reluctantly would support this resolution. Highly unlikely next year if a similar agreement came up that would, but this year, based on circumstances and presentation we had in the workshop, it does make some sense, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. However, I will support it. Thank you.
Other comment?
Yeah, Warren here, Kinko.
Go ahead, Warren.
Okay, when Annie mentioned here, we see it in there to give up the 1%. It came to mind that during a mix in apples and oranges, again, you got to stick with me for a minute, but St. Paul, during the crab disaster declarations for the 2022-23 season, I think that's what it is, they had a 1% added to the money that they got from the government. They got a 1% increase on the money that the cities all took. They took away from the other communities to give them an extra 1% to help them out. So So I'm sure that's kind of what they're looking for now. They have a pretty smart guy who's doing all this. So if we want to give it to him now, we could. But it's okay with me. But I just hate to see. I don't know. I already gave you my thoughts earlier, so that's all I have.
Okay. Other comments? Okay. Hearing none. Question on a motion.
Warren?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Glenn?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So before us, resolution 2626, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with Sandpoint Marine LLC to repair the Sandpoint swimming pool in the amount not to exceed $1 million. We need a motion and a second.
This is Brenda. I'll make that motion, resolution 26-26.
Thank you, Brenda.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Chris. Annie?
Yes, Mayor, I'll speak to somebody. So before you is resolution 2026, which would authorize the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with Sandpoint Marine LLC to repair the swimming pool in an amount not to exceed $1 million. Sandpoint Marine LLC is owned by Paolo Jerkovich, and he has provided the attached proposal in the packet for you guys to look at. And this proposal would furnish all materials and perform all labor to complete the following. It would remove the existing pool liner, test the main drain and suction line from pump room to pool, repair if necessary, test the supply lines from pump room to pool, repair if necessary, set up ventilation for proper air exchange, insulate entire pool with 2 inches high quality foam core, do some fiberglass work, replace the existing gutter track around the pool with a new fiberglass gutter track, gel coat the pool, install handrails for means of pool entry and exit, and install handicapped accessible lift, which is an ADA compliant item. So there's more information in there hopefully you've read it. The scope of the proposed project also includes repairing and replacing any defective plumbing from the existing pool to the pump room, along with insulating and lining the existing pool to the pump room. I might have repeated myself twice, sorry, on that one. But the proposed project will not change the existing structure of the pool. Borough Administration has provided Mr. Jerkovich with the document outlining the guidelines for public schools and pools, and that includes building codes, federal standards, the American Disabilities Act, and other pool requirements. And he has confirmed that he will meet those requirements. They did furnish a cost breakdown, and he has said that he could furnish the materials and labor and complete the work in the amount of $927,000. After this packet was done, and I did not have a chance to get this to you, he did provide a more detailed project budget, which Glenna is sharing on the screen, and I will email out. I just have not had a chance, but this is a more detailed breakdown of that that you can look at as well. We do have $1.5 million available for the pool project. It is in, or it will be, I don't think it's in the October financials, but it will be in the November financials, and that line item will be there. So the money is available. And also, just so you're aware, that per the borough code, we may award the contract, basically sole source it. And this resolution would say that this is an emergency threatening the public health, safety, and property or welfare of the borough. So if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Okay, any questions?
Just a comment. Paulo is probably one of the best with the fiberglass thing. I totally support this resolution. One comment, I think we should, instead of white, it says white or blue, but aqua blue, it should be painted as it is presently.
Oh, Okay. Oh. On the scope of work you're referencing, Glenn? Sorry.
Yes, yeah, it was okay. One of your bullet points.
Gotcha. I'll scroll that.
I certainly support this too. I mean, I'm happy to see what he came up with, and I think, you know, fiberglass is going to be good. I used to work with fiberglass and did it for a while, and I've heard his work is very good. And my only question is the permitting and everything. He'll be in charge of all that and handling all that red tape if he runs into anything. And okay.
Paul? Yeah, I'd support the resolution. Good project for the future. We're committing the kids. But I have one quick question is, if the assembly passes this resolution, when would we execute a contract? What's the time frame we're executing with a contractor?
I would try to do it as fast as possible. I'm going to need some assistance because on all the other ones, I have Dal and other people help me. So I'm going to need some help.
Yeah, only reason I asked is I do know that he participates in the Dungeness fishery, which opens December in a week or so. And so we have to fit that in. He comes in, I believe, every day. But anyway, just sooner the better is great. Yeah, thank you.
What does he say the time frame is from start to finish? Did he say? Or
No, he's talking about if he starts in August, 1st of August, sometime in October.
Okay.
Just last I talked to him on it.
Just a comment from Warren over here.
Go ahead, Warren.
See, I know we changed the liner, and there was some talk in a couple of meetings ago where we were talking about a crawl space that's underneath the framework of the pool now. Then I looked at the pool is 10 feet deep. Does the pool have to be that deep, considering the heating? BTU, it takes the heat to pool, and if it doesn't have to be 10 feet, we can have, I know it's going to cost more to like build a framework or whatever, but just a couple of thoughts there on trying to save some money in heating the pool, and if the framework that's underneath the pool at the moment, with the leaks that are there, they find some deteriorated framework that has to be changed out, something that's gonna cost a lot of money. So that's all my thoughts. Thank you.
Okay. So one thing, Warren, there's gonna be like 2 inches of foam. So there's gonna be a fair amount of insulation between the pool and ground. Like right now it's whatever that is, 1/4 inch aluminum skin or whatever right up against the dirt. So you're going to see a big savings in heating to start with, and kind of late now to start renegotiating the depth or changing that, because he's basically going to follow the existing outline of the pool, and that's what we'd asked him to do.
Yeah.
So to try and start changing things now would probably change the completion time of the pool, and he's got a controlled environment shop down in Washington, and basically he's going to pre-build everything down there. All of the, I know it's not Nidacor, it's something else panels that he's using, but it's a real high strength panel type that they're going to do all the fiberglass work, load it all up into container vans and ship it to Sandpoint, and then hang it all in and glass it. So a lot of the work's going to be done in Lower 48 before it gets here in a controlled environment, which is kind of nice. So, and with that, Glenn is suggesting what color? Aqua blue?
Yeah, so, aqua blue as in the bullet point there.
So is everybody happy with that? I mean, to me, color is color. So, Paul?
I have a question after Paul.
No, I was going. Oh, my, yes.
I know Warren talking about 10 feet, and it's been a while since I've been over to that pool, but does that pool have a diving board?
No.
It broke.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
So
I don't want it.
So is that's something that's not going to be added back in? Okay. Because I know 10 feet, you know, I think is the minimum for having dive type stuff, and that's probably why it was 10 feet, because of the diving board. But
yeah.
but if that's not going back to England.
How did you break it?
So in the packet, there's some guidelines, and there's certain things that have to be met for public uses. And one, we do want to keep it at 10 feet because that meets the criteria for like lifeguard training or swimming instruction. Yeah. So the pool has to be a certain depth for that. If you get shallower, then the uses change.
Yeah.
The goal is to keep it 10 feet to meet the level of service this pool's designed for.
Now, with him doing this is just for the pool.
Yeah.
The heating system and everything,
that's all.
That's separate.
Well, just to go back a little bit. So basically, as we were trying to get the pool up and running and fixing it,
mm-hmm.
we thought we had the leaks and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got brand new filtration system.
Okay.
And we had to put bigger doors in to even get that stuff in there.
Yeah.
So all of the stuff that's in the pump room has been changed out. So there's new valves and everything. And it already has its existing water jacket heating for the boiler system. So,
and then I know we talked several years ago about hiring somebody or keeping somebody on board that's strictly their job is to maintain the heating system in there so we don't have 25 different people going in there like it was in the past, you know, and oh, I know how to fix this. I know how to fix that.
Actually, what we've been doing administratively basically is we've got a new player on it now, but we have contracts with people actually it came out of Sandpoint with mm-hmm. me, but so they went through all the boilers in the school, one's in the fourplex and one in the office. They look like they did really good work. Everybody's happy with it. So they'll be retained on a schedule to go out to all of our communities that we have facilities and do this type of work because it makes more sense to do it that way. Otherwise, like you were saying, 20 people work on it and six times the amount later, you're still fixing it again.
Because I know that was kind of the issue we were having years ago was, well, so-and-so went in and tried to do his handiwork and then broke this and then so-and-so. Yeah, so I think that's a good idea.
We've changed a lot of that.
Well, and to add that the school district will be responsible for having an employee for the pool like they did before. I believe it was Leah before, and they're responsible for the pool and to keep, you know, make sure chemicals are accurate and all that stuff. So they'll have that.
Yeah. Paul?
Oh, I just reported that Lenore and I went to the pool section at AML and listened to the presentation. It's been quite a bit interested. And it was a little encouraging. There were no red flags came up that I'm aware of, and a lot of interest in pools because everybody was there, raised their hand. What are you here for? What reason? And pools. Everybody likes the pool idea in Alaska. They'd rather go to Hawaii, but second best.
You know, I think this is good. I mean, it's been on our schedule for a long time, and
it's been an albatross.
And I think that, you know, what's being presented to us, I think, looks very good. And so, it'll be.
So hopefully we'll have a pool this fall.
Paul will be able to swim in there here pretty soon. Yeah. So.
Like a seal.
And this will open it up for the whole borough to be able to utilize to learn to swim because it affects all of our communities.
Oh, yeah.
And with we children who grow up and they end up being on boats and don't know how to swim.
No, I remember, I think even kids from Perryville, that area, come up. Anyway, any other comments? Questions?
Yeah, I've got one. This is Josie.
Go ahead, Josie.
I'm not sure if is there anything written in for a warranty, or would they do like an annual maintenance check, or, you know, after they're completed with it? Is there anything like that? Or once it's done, it's done?
So I think, you know, because they're basically gonna do the design and design. And then after that, I think Bronco, if you asked him, he would, like he said, you know, some of his boats are 50 years old or sitting in the harbor in Sandpoint's fiberglass.
Yep. He does amazing work.
And you know, actually, another thing that makes it nice is he owns a home in Sandpoint.
Yeah.
And in our first meeting that we met with him, he said, since I own a home in Sandpoint now, I want to be able to lap swim. So he's going to be there and use the pool.
Have we ever seen a fiberglass pool before?
Anyone?
Of this size, no.
Question. We don't want something everybody else.
I'm making the next thing wrong.
Yeah.
The fiberglass pools are.
I'll just add that everything he does is first class.
Oh, yeah.
Without a question. It's way above first class contractor.
Call the question.
Question's been called.
Glenn?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Paul?
Oh, yes, sorry.
Josie?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. This is good. Maybe I'll even learn how to swim.
We'll have a ribbon cutting.
Okay, thank you, everybody. This is going to be much appreciated throughout the whole area, I'm sure, when this gets done. Okay. We don't have anything under old business. New business. First item is advisory appointment.
Beverly.
Beverly, this is yours.
Thank you, Mayor Officer Bakan Assembly. Aleutians East Borough Code 2.04.060B states that there shall be an advisory member for each of the communities in the borough without an assembly. Last November, a public notice was published encouraging members of the community to submit a letter of interest for the position of advisory. We received two letters of interest. One is from Tom Hublett of Falls Pass and another one is from Samantha McNeely of Nelson Lagoon. We did not receive any letter from anyone in Colby. Once approved by the assembly, advisory term is 1 year that begins on January 1st. And Mayor Officer Baca will need a motion to accept the advisory appointment.
One motion for both?
I'll make a motion for both, Glenn.
Okay, we have a motion on the.
This is Brenda, I'll second.
And second by Brenda. So the motion and the second is to appoint Tom Hublett and
Sam.
Samantha.
Yeah.
Any questions, comment? Hearing none. Call the roll.
Warren?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Glenn?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you. And welcome back, Tom and Samantha. Samantha didn't leave, but reappointed. Okay. Strategic planning quarter three update.
Yes, Mayor Speck, in assembly, in the packet is an update for the quarter three strategic plan. This is for the period ending, November 30th, 2025. I'm not going to go through this in any detail, but really, truly, we've still are making quite a few accomplishments. Have moved some stuff around a little bit, like this is a living document and all, but this is really in here just for your review and education, and if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Questions for Annie?
I just want to say I think that process is awesome. It shows it in all the little spots and things you need to remember back here are in there that you're working on up here.
Yeah.
So I think it's awesome.
Other comment?
I just love to see the little bugs all yay.
I think it's amazing. I mean, I don't know what year we're going on, but I think it definitely is beneficial to the administration. And I sit on another board where we are starting to build a strategic plan, and so I kind of educated them a little bit on what we're doing. But yeah, I think it's good. It makes us transparent, which is what. Yep. Which was a big thing at the AML this year. So, yeah.
You know, and the other thing on that also, yeah, I've been on lots of boards where we did strategic planning. We sat down, we took days, we did all this up. We took like maybe in a month, we took 3 or 4 weekends and did it all up, got it all passed, put it in a book, put it in the shelf. Nobody ever seen it again. So the only way they work is the way we do it. It's basically, it's hung on the wall or it's on everybody's computer and it's looked at every quarter. People have. So if you don't do the final step, there's no sense doing it to start with because it won't be any good. This is the first one that I've seen work in all the years.
Well, like Annie said, it's a living document. And the only way you're going to keep it living is by, you know, keep feeding it and you know, taking care of it. So,
Paul?
On the first page, I see Board of Fish under there, but I think it'd be good for everybody plotting ahead that sometimes the assembly showed up at a concurrent meeting with the assembly here at Anchorage during the Board of Fish meeting, and might be something we're already thinking about, but I just thought I'd mention it, that's all.
You mean for our strategic planning?
To get more people here for the Board of Fish meeting, mm-hmm. as well as to have a meeting like we do in Anchorage occasionally.
Well, just so everybody is aware, we have moved the strategic planning to March because the time before Board of Fish is super stressful. And I have people that are going to be extremely busy over there, particularly those two people. And so I don't want to overstress them. So we did move it to March. So it's March 11th. It's the day before the assembly meeting. It'll be here in Anchorage at APIA from 9 to 4. But I first was going to do it in February and then I just can't do that to them.
Remember, we used to do it a week before Christmas and that was
So it's going to be March 11th here in Anchorage. And it'll be at APIA. It won't be on Zoom or Teams or anything. It'll be an in-person meeting and then we'll have the assembly meeting the next day.
We still have the same guy that's.
Yes. Yep. John will still be here for us.
You really like him.
He's talking about the sandwich shop. He's still around.
He's very smart.
Yeah.
Okay. Other comments on this? Hearing none. Drug enforcement discussion.
Yes, Mayor Oshbach, Assembly. So in the packet, we received a. Sorry, let me back. On November 17th, the borough clerk did receive an assembly agenda item request from Assemblymember Gardner to put drug enforcement on this meeting agenda. So I think there was a little bit of a discussion at the last time, but I just wanted to kind of give, or in the packets, a brief update of the background of what we funded in the past and also what Eastern Aleutian Tribes currently funds. But in 2018, the borough did have a community budget request process. And at that time, the city of Sandpoint in FY 2020 had requested $87,239 from the borough through that process for a city of Sandpoint Police Department, Western Alaska Narcotics Task Force, which is WANT, to pay for their employee to fight the flow of drugs into the region. The borough assembly did approve that funding request in FY 2020. We also received a second request, which missed the community budget process request, but the assembly did fund that to the tune of $93,162. And I believe that was paid for out of the project contingency fund. After that, either the borough didn't fund a community budget request process because we had a budget deficit and or the city at the time didn't submit a request for those funds. They might have submitted something for like the travel lift and other projects. So that's just a background of what the borough has funded. And then after talking to Paul Mueller, who's the I think his title's the CEO. So they have funded through requests from Mayor Gardner at the time and the former city administrator, Jordan Keeler, they've funded that position and there's an outline in there of how much they've spent. And this year for FY26, they are expending $170,000, $125,000 direct support for this WANT officer. And then some additional funds is for law enforcement activities in like King Cove, for instance. He is currently paying for that out of a multi-year grant, and he's year one of three on one of them and two of five on a different grant cycle. And then there was a question if the borough did give EATS money, and we do. We give them $150,000 annually through the budget process, and that's used for behavioral health services, but that's approved in May every year. So anyway, I'll open up to discussion, but I just wanted to give that background.
Okay, Mayor.
Thanks, Chris.
I think it's a good program, and I mean, it's been going on for a while. My only question is from what I'm understanding is now he's working for the Postal Service as a postal inspector for drugs, and we're not seeing him at Lake Clark anymore like it used to be. And that's where I think we really need the emphasis is at the airports there. I don't know.
It still goes to Lake Clark.
I've had people say they've never seen him. And I heard he's got a contract now with the Postal Service. And yeah, so I don't know if there's something that we can put in there to where he, I mean, I'm not saying the Postal Service is not needed. It is. But, you know, we're still seeing these drugs coming in on Lake Clark. I mean, I've talked with several of the people that work behind the scenes at Lake Clark inspecting luggage and all this stuff. And they go through the luggage. They have a list of people that are on their red list, and they go through that luggage. But they're bringing it on their persons, and they're not able to inspect somebody. You know, they've tried to get away from carry-ons, but then there's people at the last minute, somebody gives them a carry-on and it's got stuff in it it's not supposed to. So I just have had people tell me in King Cove and even from Sandpoint that they don't see the presence of that person there anymore like they used to when it was really and I've heard that they were saying that he's doing a lot more with within the Postal Service now versus working out of the airport. So I don't know if Jim can elaborate on that or Glenn, because I know Glenn was mayor prior to that, and it kind of all got set up around that time too. But that's just some of the questions that I had.
Well, currently, Glenn, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're on the EATS board, aren't you?
Yep.
Correct. Yeah. Also with Brenda, but can I speak a little bit to this matter? I don't know what happened with the city and why they dropped this. I don't understand, but I do know that EATS has picked this up and they have been funding it through the years. I just feel EATS has got lots of things they could be spending money on. And I think the borough, who represents the same people as Eastern Aleutian tribes, could somehow get back into what they were doing prior. I don't know if it's something if we work with the city. Again, I don't understand why they don't do this anymore, but they do work at the airport. I know that. I just had dinner with them when I was out at the EAT meetings, and Brenda can attest to what we talked to about. Yes, there is monies coming in, 150, but it's for behavioral health care and elder care. I just feel that I'd like to see the borough join in on this and maybe work with EAT, and or maybe it's working through the city of Sandpoint, because I'm not sure how this gentleman, I do believe he's an employee of the city. I'm not sure if that's true anymore, but I would like to see the borough, you know, join in and work on this problem together. We just lost another person here just recently, and it's been how many over the last year, and it makes me sick. And I just feel that, and maybe there's other ways we could be working on this too. I don't know, you know, where you go with that, but I feel the borough and EAT be good people to work together on this project and maybe something through the city. But that's my two cents worth. Thank you.
Okay, Glenn. Yeah, well, according to your CEO, they basically have full funding for the next couple of years. You know, normally no, we try to.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, that grant wasn't for this position, and it has other purposes also.
Oh, well, I mean, basically that's what he told us, that this was funded through two different grants, but I'm not going to get into that. But so normally what we try and do is we put out each year a request for proposals from communities and entities, and it it's a better way to do things because it's during our budget cycle. And here in another, when is our financial meeting with the assembly?
I don't know yet.
So anyway, at some point here, we always put together a financial workshop so we can go through everything that's in our budget with all of the assembly members. So you see where the money's going and how much money that we do have to spend on other items. So I personally would prefer staying with that type of system. And if a city or if EATS or whatever comes up with a grant request from us, then as the assembly could sit down, once you know where all of our funding is located at and how much we have for these different projects, then we could prioritize what we need to do and take action at that time. That would, to me, would be a more responsible way to do it. And like last year, you know, it's lucky that we've had this AMLIP account and some of the other things that we have, because you weren't on the borough last year, but last year we fell $2.5 million short. If we didn't have money being made in our AMLIP accounts and that, we wouldn't have been able to cover it. So we do have money, but most of the money that the borough has is designated. And I think it would be good for the assembly to have a chance to go through all of that again and see what's dedicated for bonds and when all those bonds are matured and some of the other things that we have before we go forth and spend money on individual requests. I would much rather go through the granting process that we have.
I don't have a problem with that. Just so long as we know a time frame so we could approach these folks so we can follow through with that. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah. So I think that's the proper way to do it.
When would that happen?
So we start our budget process, like start thinking about it in February, and then our budget is introduced typically in May, typically introduced and approved in May. So we'll start doing the budget beginnings in February for FY27.
Okay, thanks, Annie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Paul?
Yeah, I know that our staff and the assembly knows the problems we have with drugs in our area, and I kind of feel that you guys will find a way to maybe target some money in the next budget that will benefit the region and help us out. I feel confident, and the assembly will support it for sure. I bet you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
You know, in communities too, like all of our communities have, well, not all of them, most of them have bars and liquor stores. It would be good if their boards would put together a dedicated portion of money to help with this too, because alcohol is a drug, same as, you know, everything else. So,
acid more.
Yeah. So that would be good too. That would help, you know, rather than just putting all the financial burden on one entity.
Well, it is on one entity as we speak.
Yes, it is.
But it's, can I make a comment?
Go ahead.
So Glenn, in that budget, it's coming out of the one grant that's a 3-year grant. 1 year has gone through it already, so there's 2 years of funding in that one left. There's a 5-year grant that 2 years have been used on it, so that's another 3 years on that grant. And that grant is a really large grant, the second one. So the monies that are coming out of there to support the communities against drugs was written into that grant for that purpose. I know I wrote them.
Oh, okay.
Jim. Right. Thanks, Brenda. Yeah, as far as EATS, Paul's been very happy to be involved with that drug officer. And when I got the job as the mayor, we were going to, because the borough was paying for his position, and then EATS had taken it over, and it was for less money. They brought him up to the salary of the other five officers or four that are in that group. And I've always pushed for more action in Sandpoint, and I've always stressed for King Cove, but I don't have a reason why they don't come out more. and watch our area more. So that's if we're paying for it, I felt that's where they belong.
Who's he accountable to? Is
there's a head of the few people. They work with DEA and all these FBI, and what they're doing works really great, but they're not really centralized on heat or pollution fees.
I just know, like, a couple of years ago, you know, you used to see them standing outside and they'd come in and pull somebody out and you know, question them and talk to them, and just haven't seen that presence. And then I've heard that they're doing more within the Postal Service, which, I mean, I know that's another avenue too.
Well, that's a big avenue. Yeah, they've caught a lot. Yeah.
I think he got approved for that, and they were given the go-ahead to go into that direction.
There was a large presentation at the EATS meeting about the Postal Service and their involvement.
Yeah, I think
they're working closely.
And I don't know what they're doing, how Aleutia does things, if they go through, you know, people's luggage and stuff. But I know, you know, Lake Clark is doing that for,
They do that too.
Can't legally, but yes. As long as they can never take that to court.
Just to remind people, I think most people know, but the reason the North Slope used charter planes to go to the North Slope is they can search the planes because it's not under Part 121 where people have rights, search and seizure rights. So that complicates the issue, you know, too.
Well, Lake Clark is considered charter. That's why they won't go up any further. So they legally can do that now. Like Jim said, Aleutia's a little different story, but
you can't actually dig in someone's luggage without the permission.
The ones I like, I think that should be funded is more of the where you sit a little fast, what's going along, and poof.
Way better. But far as the city standpoint, we couldn't afford to finance this. No. We can't finance standpoint. So we couldn't cover an officer out here.
Yeah.
Even though in these officers, ideas, they're stopping drugs coming into Alaska and they're stopping it going past Anchorage into our towns. And that's how they figure they're winning. And Paul is 100% behind that. But if Glenn is asking the borough just to put in more money, that's what I thought this was, on top of what EATS does, because EATS is in for 3 more years, like you said, I guess we'd all be more involved. I mean, the city standpoint takes a loss. Well, we used to as overtime. It was not being done properly, but then we have the car, which was, he has a truck out here we maintain that was donated from QT. But
I know
everybody's involved. Yeah. So what level are we involved?
I think really the best, you know, to me, the best approach for this is if there's entities out there that have a program or something that will help. Because all of us want to help stop the drugs. I've lost a lot of relatives and close friends over this drug abuse, people dying right and left here. But we need somebody to bring us, lay out a plan on what they're planning on doing and what they're looking at for results for us to be able to spend. You know, we have to be fiduciary responsible to the monies that we have. So if we have something that's sitting here before the whole assembly and we all agree that yes, this looks really good and we should do it, and I think we need to wait until we get that, because all of us have stories of somebody that we've lost and really close to most of us. So it's not simple, and everybody wants, you know, like us, looking at us like we're the rural government. I'd be more than happy if we have the money and we have a good program that we're looking at, that this is going to help and it's going to do this. But just put money out for and not knowing what's going to become of it is not, I don't think, is responsible for us to do.
Well, I know when we came up and we paid that one time for a yearly salary, you know, we were supportive of it, but we said we have to be careful because they're not hired. They don't work for the, they're not hired by the borough. They're not a borough employee. And so that's kind of where we had to be careful on that. The first time, I think we came up with 90,000, or maybe it was 80 some thousand or whatever. I think that's because Sandpoint was having a little difficult that time with finances or something. But and I know they put that in, and we said we had to be careful because, you know, we couldn't really keep doing that per se, because they were, you know, it was, they weren't a borough employee.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And that's something else we have to be careful of. I mean, we have a small staff, but a very good staff, and they do a lot.
But we can't add, you know, if somebody else is going to do this program and we can help fund it and they do it, but to decide the borough should have a drug enforcement arm or something, we're going to go broke. I mean, seriously.
But I think what Glenn's bringing up too is where, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, the money that we are giving to EATS or the money that's coming back through EATS is accountable. And if it's going to this drug program, you know, to stop drugs from coming into, you know, our communities out here in Anchorage, we want to make sure that, you know, it's accountable for and that we're well, seeing return and what we're.
Come March when we have our strategic planning.
Yeah.
We have EATS comes down and update. And then we've got two board members on our board. So when you guys have a board meeting, you could relate to them that that would be something we'd be looking at during our strategic planning for them to update us on that. And that way, all of us would know a little bit more about it. I mean, everybody knows a little bit of something, but this way we would all know what's going on.
And the money that comes out of there.
Go ahead, Glenn.
Okay, just quickly, I think that's a good idea. I think we should sit down with Paul and work together all on this and see how we could make this work better. But as of right now, there are other people involved. And as you know, the state of Alaska, I'm not sure if they pick up overtime for that position or if it was fringe, I'm not sure. So there are other entities involved in this. It's extremely important. And as you all mentioned, we all have lost family and friends. And again, we all, you know, the same people we're looking after. So let's get together with EAT and see if we can lighten their load so they can use money somewhere else too. And let's work together.
Yeah. So I think it'd be good when you guys talk to him. It's just remind him that March is when our strategic plan is coming up and he can do a presentation there. As we usually bring the school in and we bring EATS and I think maybe on and off different times, other people that have an interest.
Like we've got the airlines there.
Yeah, we've got airlines in there. So, okay, that sounds good. Okay, we are easy one. Okay, Doc, discussion next.
Yes, Mayor, Sprague Assembly. So Assembly Member Granholt had asked to put this on the agenda as a discussion item. I just did provide some brief information on where the Cold Bay Dock, well, let me back up. I guess the state of Alaska has received about $54 million in funding to replace the existing dock in Cold Bay. That's about $43.37 million from a PID grant, a MARAD grant, and $10.84 million from the state of Alaska. They're in the process right now where they have hired P&D Engineering to do the design work as well as the environmental aspects of the project. P&D has provided four alternatives based on, you know, desired project objectives and preliminary criteria. I've included in here, based off the last document I've received, the different options and their costs, and they do range from $96.9 million to $68.175 million. Now, the state did hold a virtual public hearing in October. They are holding a second public hearing on December 16th. And I have included the link here in the packet as well. And everybody's, you know, welcome to attend. But there'll be another public hearing then, and they'll be able to address quite a few questions that were asked during the first meeting. And also during the first meeting, it was just extremely difficult to log in. So I think a lot of people didn't have the opportunity to participate because their links weren't working properly. But what P&D and the state are recommending is option four, which is shown here as the preferred alternative. It is pretty bare bones. But this is at a $68.175 million cost, and they're looking at a $14 million delta right now that the state's trying to fill just to complete this work. So I just wanted to share that with you. And once again, December 16th at 6:30, there'll be a second virtual public meeting on this project that the state will be hosting.
Can they move that date and time? Because that's my birthday. So.
Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Mayor.
move discussion along, I'd like to propose a simple motion, which I'll state. I move that the borough support an option for a wave barrier in the design. And because, yeah, that's my motion. Then I'll discuss it if somebody seconds it.
I'll second that motion. But things like that are going to come down to money.
Mayor, if I may explain it, I don't believe the borough, as far as I know, the borough hasn't weighed in on their comments, but they'd like to see in it. And I think everybody I've talked to everywhere thinks incorporating some kind of wave barrier would be a very good idea. It'd be well worth doing. And I did attend a public hearing. I logged in a little late last time, but I didn't come away with a lot of faith in the process and the numbers that were thrown out by the design firm. And I did, I'll keep it short, but the I think, for instance, 10 barges of rock from someplace like Sandpoint dumped in an L-shaped on the dock would be way cheaper than this amount that's being quoted here. And I don't think they've even looked at that. But if this motion passes, it would just, I think the borough is going to log in. They could testify on behalf of the assembly that this is a preferred alternative. And to keep it simple, nothing. We're not engineers. We just want a good dock for the use of the residents. So that's it. Thank you.
Okay.
So it's three options up all four. So the top. So you have 54 million and the most expensive is 96. So you'd have to come up with 42 more million to get the breakwater.
That's correct. And that at the state level is not going to happen.
Yeah. Okay. We've been having discussions with the state as time went on, because some of the things we've been discussing is like who's going to own the pipeline on the new dock, right? And I was always telling them that the borough should actually own the pipeline when the dock is finished. And the reason I was doing it is because when Frosty Fuels had it and the boat hit it, it was down for over a year because they were waiting for settlement from an insurance company to go fix the pipeline. You know, and I talked to Ali Cooper and I told him, I said, you know, personally, if that was your actual fuel line that you personally own, would you shut your operation down for over a year while you waited for an insurance company? No, you would have went and fixed it. So, I mean, it caused hardships in Cold Bay because they started hauling fuel in trucks. And then the state took a look at the dock and then they shut the dock down. They couldn't haul fuel on it for a while until they went in and replaced some pilings and that type of thing. But, I mean, so I looked at it as, well, maybe we should own the pipeline as far as up to dry ground, you know, and put a header system up there, and then another company, if they wanted to come in and put, say a power company wanted to put their own fuel tanks and that type of thing. Anyway, I talked to the state about that. Then as time went on and they started coming up with these numbers, I think 3 or 5 million or something for the pipeline alone, right? So we start looking at this. And of course, Allied Corporation wants to own the pipeline, you know, then they'd be a monopoly again, whatever there. But anyway, we're not even sure on where that's going to go because of the costs that are there. And we did talk about, because in years ago when we talked about replacing that dock, back when King Cole was having problems, they were picking people up in crab pots and putting them on a dock. So we were talking about, well, if we ever build a new dock, we need a wave barrier so smaller boats can get in with a ramp that comes down for a stretcher or gurney or that type of thing. We talked about that a lot and thought that that's the way it should be. But yeah, if the assembly wants to put this forward into a motion, then we can give it to the state. But I don't know where they're going to come up with the extra money. I mean, we feel really fortunate that the state came along when they did and said, hey, we could do this. We could put the grant request and everything in. So they did and they got it. We would have probably never gone for a couple of years. They got it right off the bat. So the 43 point some million, that's the side that came out of MARAD, and then they'll have a match to, the state has a match to go with it. So basically it's their project. Then they went out and they did the low bid. They got PN&D to do the design for them. So they're kind of in the middle of this right now. It doesn't hurt for us to ask them if they could do this, but those costs are so high that I can't see it, but you know, but it's fine, put it in. Chris?
I understand, you know, and I agree with Paul, you know, of course we can't tell them, you know, oh, you can get the rock out of Sandpoint. I mean, that's all, you know, they engineer all that stuff and, you know, figure out where they, but I know it's really deep down there. I mean, that's why they had to go that far out, you know. And then we want to make sure too, that we're not hampering, you know, the Testamina that comes in there and the other freight boats that come in there too. You know, I mean, it's a challenge. I mean, you know, sometimes for, you know, the ferry to come in there and stuff. So, I mean, that would all have to be engineered too, you know, and then that starts getting higher up. So, I mean, like they were showing, you know, $42 million more, we'd have to come up for something. I mean, when we first heard this, we were like, wow, that's a lot of money, you know. And now, you know, it's like, wow, maybe that's, you know, I mean, if we can just, you know, I guess we're just going to have to get what we get maybe, but, you know, I'm sure it's going to be better than what we have now. So, yeah.
Well, by the time they get the help, I mean, this is years out yet.
Yeah.
I'm kind of hoping the road to Cold Bay has been in. And you guys got an extra big boat harbor over there. If somebody wants to have a skiff, they can put it over there and they can drive over on the road and save themselves a lot of banging around.
Yeah.
Paul?
Yeah, this the borough and city of Cold Bay will never be able to afford any kind of a protected dock way barrier without this project. Yeah. So this is a once in a lifetime project. And I think it's worth the effort to try to get them to figure it out for us. That's all. Thank you.
Yeah. No, I'm saying we could put it in. I'm just saying don't hold your breath.
What is the depth out there? Is anybody
Warren here, King Cove? Hey, can Warren. I be excused, please? I gotta make a run here.
Okay. You can.
Thank you.
You'll miss the reports though, you know.
Yeah, I'll follow them up. I got them all on the line here.
Okay.
Even if they did something, maybe after. Like sheet pile.
Thanks, Charlotte Nerdy.
You're welcome. I think because it's PN&D, you know, they have that closed cell or open cell, whatever they call it.
Oh.
And I think that's something that any project that they do, they even in Sandpoint, when we built the wall in the inside the harbor, they wanted to use that design in there. And we're going like, why there's no waves in here?
And Mayor, just so everybody knows, that's when the city of Sandpoint decided not to hire them anymore and did it themselves and saved them over $1 million.
Million and a half.
Yeah,
we fired them. United.
Yes. And saved a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then we designed it ourselves. But that's different. Anyway. Okay, so I guess we can, since it's on here, we can have a motion, right? So we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion on it? So basically the motion is to request a wave barrier of their design. Da, 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 da. We'll figure that part out.
To enter into talks again, yeah.
Call the question.
Question's called.
Chris?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Jim, yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Glenn?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you.
We don't have the money for that anyway.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Okay, so now we are down to reports and updates. Annie,
Assembly, my report is in the packet. The first thing was the Cold Bay Dock. As we just mentioned, there will be a virtual public hearing held on December 16th at 6:30 p.m. There is a Zoom link there. We will send you an email with it. It's posted on our social media and our website as well. So that is definitely something that we will be attending, but you guys hopefully could attend as well. Moving on, we got the Sandpoint Harbor Float Project. That project is still ongoing. We are waiting for the substations to be delivered to Sandpoint. There's been a huge delay at the electrical company aspect, very slow on building those. And then they sent two out and didn't send the third. So we're just waiting on that. We're trying to figure out a timeline for Western Marine to go out and finish that. But I don't know if it'll happen before Christmas, but maybe by the end of the year, the first part of January. And then they're planning on getting the rest of the punch list items done from the substantial completion done in March of 2026. So it'll still be a bit till that project's finished. We are looking at different fire pump options as well. We have about $400,000 left in the MARAD grant. If we don't spend it, we get penalized. It's very bizarre. If I do not spend the money and I give it back, we get fined. It just makes no sense. So we're trying to figure out how to spend the rest of that. We are going to put some additional ladders on the side where the boats tie up, because right now they're on the other side of the float. So we're looking at that and a couple other things, but we are looking at getting a fire pump in there because there's no water connected to those floats at this time. Sandpoint School Deed Project. This project takes a lot of my time. We are looking at executing a fourth change order soon. We have some stuff in here for light controllers, flooring. We're going to replace all the floors in the hallway where the lockers are, and do a couple other things. We're still under budget, but there's just a lot of activity. In my opinion, UIC construction is behind schedule. We are now looking at a March, February substantial completion and then a March completion date. So they are behind, but we are also adding portions of work that are extending it, like the flooring and stuff like that's adding time. So anyway, but in my opinion, they are behind schedule. But hopefully after the holidays, they'll get a whole bunch of people out there and crank this work out. So a couple other things, we're looking at getting some false pass roof repairs done. Bering Sea Services have provided a quote. I said it's $50,500. It probably will be more than that because they did not include lodging and things, and that's not something the borough provides. So I anticipate that to come up a little bit, but that will be paid for out of the deferred maintenance line item and is a necessity for that school. And then just recently, Cooler Mechanical did go out to Sandpoint and finished work on the school boiler, the office boiler, and the fourplex boiler. And hopefully, knock on wood, I don't have to send them out there again anytime soon. So they've done good work. And I know they got stuck a couple days due to lack of planes and weather, but that work should be completed. Chinook Fire is going to go out to Cold Bay here soon to do their annual fire alarm extinguisher and sprinkler inspections. And then they're also going to finish a bunch of deficiency work that was identified last year. So they should be going out there here soon. I also did contact all the communities or the city leaders, at least, that they will be also going out to the communities to address the schools, which is the school district's responsibility. But if you guys want to combine services and save costs, that would be great, because they're going to go out anyway. And I know the communities all have buildings that need to be looked at too. The next part is the King Cove Road. There's ongoing meetings on this. Thank you for approving the resolution for legal services. I don't really have to say much more. I think we went through most of that during the resolution discussion, but ongoing. I think we're farther along on this than we've ever been. It's exciting. I don't want to get my hopes up or anybody else's, but it is very exciting to be where we're at. Last bit of stuff, I think, just so you're aware, I did post in-house an employment advertisement for an executive assistant position. Applications were due yesterday, and that was just in-house based off how our employee handbook is. I can do that in-house to staff here. We did receive one application by that deadline, and this is just an opportunity to basically take the front desk position and change it into a permanent full-time position. And anyway, I've still got to do some interviews, but it's exciting and something I'm really thrilled about to have that position in place. And this position will help me out on a lot of issues that I just flat out don't have time for. So strategic planning meeting will be March 11th, as I mentioned. We'll have it from 9 to 4 at the APIA building. So please plan on being here in Anchorage for that. And you could probably start coordinating with Beverly now on travel arrangements. That would be really helpful. Plane reservations are very hard to come by. So we'd like to get that started sooner than later. Few other things. The borough office in King Cove has been demolished. It's been taken down. It's like a bittersweet moment. It was really sad to see the video. However, based off talking or hearing some stories, that building had mold and water in on every side of the wall. As it was coming down, you could see it. So it's sad, but I am glad that that building's down, and then we'll decide what to do. Hopefully at some point, possibly build another building there for folks. So, and then lastly, I really want to thank Ernie and others for working on that crab item. That is a lot of work. I don't normally get involved in fisheries. It was kind of exciting. I can't lie. I was like, oh, this is something new. It was a lot of work, and I'm happy with the outcome for this year, and hopefully next year it won't be as stressful. And we can figure stuff out well in advance. I want to thank everybody for that. And that's all I got.
Okay, one quick comment.
Go ahead, Paul.
There's a conflict on one of those things, Sandy. March 11th, big conflict.
What's that?
State basketball tournament. You better check the calendar. And so, yes, that's the state. It's a 1A, 2A tournament date, I believe.
You watch everything on your phone, you'll be able to watch that too.
It's so hard to pick a date.
But
we will be.
That's day one, so.
Because then we'll be over.
Up to Morton. Yeah, it's eliminated.
All right. Well, that's all I have. Thanks.
Any other questions for Annie on her reports?
I just have one. You were saying that it'll be easier next year with the crab.
I hope so.
I thought it was a 1-year deal.
It is a 1-year deal. However, I mean.
Oh, no, it's going to happen next
year. But I think maybe we could do something more long term and have a little bit more time to go through it and explain it and do all of it. It's been interesting. St. Paul's very aggressive. Let's just leave it at that. They're very, very aggressive.
And when they tell you, read the Federal Register. You ever read the Federal Register? Be a good dog. Try it. I'm like, okay. Now I'm dumber.
Right.
And it won't come up, Chris, if you want to incorporate St. Paul, St. George into the borough.
Yeah, let's do that.
You can make that motion. No, second.
Okay. Ernie,
I'm still on the radio. Okay. My report is in the packet, Mayor and Assembly. When I was turned in my report on Friday, the North Pacific Council meeting was still going on. I did put some links, some screenshots of advisory panel, ground fish motions, for specs, for Bering Sea, Gulf of Alaska, and then a second motion that was based on testimony on and a letter that we signed asking that because there was no November ground fish plan team meetings, this the motion, the AP motion asks that they are able to update the GOA specs on pollock and peacod. I briefly testified to the council to that effect. The council passed something only on peacod, so they're requesting that they're possibly able to update those specs, which would be beneficial. And Charlotte might talk more on that. I'm sure there are four longtime people that were recognized at the meeting. Bill Twite, a longtime council member from Washington, Dave Witherall, longtime staff member, just was recently the executive director, and then analysts Daryl Brannon and Mike Downs, who fishermen have probably talked to. And thank you, Lenora, for ordering some more mugs. They're each going to get a mug from me and maybe a nice letter. As I was telling Bill Twight, I really looked up to him and stuff. He says, yeah, and you have a really good person that you work with. It's like nothing nice about, nice about Charlotte. February is going to be a big month for the council as well. On the Pollock Chum bycatch, final action on that. People are trying to tie that action to the February Board of Fish meeting. So February is a big month. We'll see how that goes. Well, obviously, we'll be testifying.
28 days. That big.
Oh, okay. It's not a leap year. Okay. Board of Fish, speaking of which, I did go to the AYK meeting. If you listen to the constituents up there, those people are really hurting from the decline in salmon runs. It was interesting. They did pass some proposals. The board generated a proposal that would increase the Dutch Harbor food and bait herring fishery. And I will testify to that one at the Bristol Bay meeting, because I get to give the Anchorage AC meeting minutes at the Bristol Bay meeting. At February, of course, we've got our stuff set up for that. I did update my cheat sheet in Christmas colors. The proposals that are no-brainers bad for us are in red, and the good ones are green. I didn't touch the Chignik or the North Penn because we have some differences, the sport ones. Anyway, there's a link to that as well. And then speaking of the Board of Fish, they put out a new call for proposals that would go out simultaneously for the one for Cook Inlet and Kodiak that would address the governor's administrative order 360 to kind of tone down regulations and process. Then the CFEC did the same thing. So the Board of Fish, their call for proposals is always April 10th. CFAC is looking for comments due December 19th. And then NOAA Fisheries has opened up again their public comment on the EO 14276. And we did submit comments on that previously, and I put a link to that. On upcoming meetings, our AEB Fishermen's End of the Year meeting has been determined, and it is Monday the 15th at 10 a.m., not p.m. So there is a posting on that. I did add the disclaimer that there might be some assembly members there, but there will not be any decisions made. I have Joe Levesque has not gotten back to me if that's sufficient. The Board of Finfish meeting then for Bristol Bay is in January. And then I am planning to go to the IPHC meeting in Bellevue, at least for the first couple of days. And Mayor, that's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. Questions, Brownie?
I mean, for yeah.
So go ahead.
Have I found out from
Bakery's job?
Yeah.
I'm stuck as it is. Okay. It's been a long time. So, Charlotte, you want to give it a shot?
Sure. Yes. Thank you, Mayor. I was back in assembly. So, I will kind of just work through what I have here, and then I have a few other things. I'll just note that I think maybe for at least the next few months, reports will be relatively short because a lot of my time is right now is spent writing. So there's not a lot you can say about writing except that it takes forever and it's, you know, long days. So for the cloud tagging project, now that the government is no longer shut down, one of the silver linings is that because we totally missed stock assessment season, some of the scientists over there, their schedules have opened up a little bit, and the age and growth lab that does all of the cod aging might have a little bit of room for us to get some more samples aged. And this could be very interesting. It could be not that interesting, but ideally we would look to see if there's differences in growth rate between the different cod that we were sampling across the Western Gulf and the Central Gulf, which, I mean, if we were lucky, might help indicate kind of some population differences between those fish that we know leave versus stay. I wouldn't hold my breath. Cod are just kind of out there doing whatever they want, but it could be interesting. So that's exciting. currently working on kind of two manuscripts for peer review right now that are on a simultaneous track. The biggest one that we're focused on is the movement and the connectivity. That's kind of the one that we're working with stock assessment on to make sure that they get what they need to be able to make stock assessment decisions, assuming we have stock assessments in the future. And then the other one is really focused more on like behavior and where are they at in the water column, temperature, and they're really their availability to fishing and surveys, which is what people are kind of interested in. And then I'm also, of course, working on routine reporting, trying to not slow down Jackie's life as much as humanly possible. One exciting thing is we did pretty much finish the tech memos that get published by NOAA. So that'll be the first official publication of these data. And we've done all 4 years, not including, four years. So all 4 years, which makes it available to the public. That's kind of the first step, getting the data out there. So that's a big deal. As far as council goes, I don't really have anything to add, except I'm glad that the council passed the motion about trying to get COD done. So like Ernie said, the motion is strictly to basically complete the entire COD stock assessment process, just in a very short time frame. If I were a betting person, which I'm not, I would say that ultimately they're not going to get it done in time for it to be available for ACs and fishermen. But I think the point still stood that it was really important and they wanted to prioritize getting COD done because it's just so important, especially in the ACs and to so many different users. So I'm at least glad they made the effort to do that. I know a lot of our fishermen, we had fishermen testify about that too. But there will be maybe something for the beef season. You know, we've got jitters out there. And for salmon tagging, so like I said, a lot of my time is spent analyzing the tags. I'm trying my darndest to get a manuscript submitted this year. It's just going to basically describe all of the raw data for the chum tagging that we did this summer and make it available to the public, make it available to talk about in February, and just talk about some of the kind of initial results that we're seeing with that. So that's kind of what I'm working on. That would probably be a public comment. So I'm kind of also crafting my public comments for Board of Fish in February. One of the biggest results, in addition to the fact that they survive when you release them, is actually that they're quite surface oriented, which I find really interesting, especially considering that there are lots of like Hail Mary proposals in there right now to try to change gear in our fisheries, which don't really have a lot of evidence basis. So I just think that's very interesting. I put a figure in there for you guys. Speaking of Board of Fish, working on a comment right now, working on another comment letter that kind of collates all 4 years of the adaptive management plan. As you guys know, I help write a report at the end of every June that just talks about what happened. And so now this is our first opportunity to really look back since this program started and kind of look at the big picture of how it went, everything that the fleet has done to make this program work. And so that's kind of a big thing I'm working on right now. Otherwise, another kind of side project that I'm working on is trying to create sort of a clearinghouse of all of the data and information that is used by fishermen, by stakeholders, by communities every time we go into one of these meetings. Because what happens is people waste a lot of time reinventing the wheel, trying to find all of the harvest data, trying to find all the landings data, trying to find participation data. You got to go to CFEC. You got to spend 2 hours just figuring out what website. So I'm trying to avoid that, bring it all into one place, and make it a lot more accessible for people to use. That's pretty much what I've got going on. I also somehow am still helping with the Trawley M program. One thing that I've noticed is that because we're often overlooked in the council process, the Western Gulf, we're kind of the redheaded stepchild, is that sometimes we just fall through the cracks. And so I just happened to notice that in our annual deployment plan for the observer program, no observers were allocated for Sandpoint for no reason. So had a nice long conversation with the agency yesterday about that. I think we've got it fixed, but it's kind of the nature of working in our region. So anyways, happy to take any questions.
Questions for Charlotte? That's a nice report, but what do you do the rest of your time? Okay, thank you. Okay, we are down to assembly comment. Oh, Paul, just so you know, too,
I already noticed that.
I put the mayor behind you guys.
I noticed that several days ago.
The Olympic nuts. Go ahead.
I just have one. I really enjoy going to the newcomers conference on Monday, even though I've been on the borough for 10 years. Was just a refresher. I am in the process of trying to get, they've made new books and very, very helpful. And I was talking to the mayor about it, and so trying to see if we might be able to get some of those. It'd be good for all of our elected officials to have. Breaks everything down, any questions you have, how to put stuff in agenda, how to make motions, how to learn some things, learn that we have a couple possible red flags, you know, in our meetings, but especially when they get into Robert's rules. But very, very good information this year. Very good.
Chris, so, are they put out by AML?
Yeah.
So we could ask.
Yeah, it's in a, they have a web, I mean, they have an email, and I sent them an email asking, because I'm sure it's in PDF. But really, really good information in there. I think the last time they did one was 2022, and this one is 2025. So, but I mean, it would be good for, you know, Beverly and even Glenora and some of these other ones that do some of the work for us. Yeah. So
I think it'd be good to get for all the council.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I've gone to it. It was a long time ago.
I used to go to them quite a bit, you know, because you go in there and you find out, oh, I can't do that.
I mean, I learned a lot about if we put something, they said, don't try to table. Table is bad. And if we say we want to make a motion to come back to that later, it has to come back at the next meeting. Yeah. It can't come back a month later, or otherwise, if that's the case, it dies.
Yeah.
And but they said, try to stay away from tabling. Make a motion to have it come back up in the next meeting. Yeah,
I like the table indefinitely one.
It's good to table if you know you need more information and you can get it at the next meeting and make your decision. That's the only time I've ever agreed to table.
But it was really good. Went through the open acts again. I think our attorney did a better job. Joe did, if we could try to figure out how to get some of those, at least every, like Brenda said, everybody should have one. They're very good.
Other assembly?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I do. This is Josie. I was thinking about the drug issue brought up for Sandpoint, and I do recall King Cove got a canine, and I'd be interested to hear if, you know, the statistics, if there's any downward trend in drugs going into King Cove, and if that would be something that Sandpoint can look into.
Actually, you know, Sandpoint, actually when I was city mayor, we had a drug dog, and there are the bad part about having a drug dog, but maybe they changed some of the rules now, but back then, once we found out, there's a lot of places you can't take a drug dog, and a lot of it has to do with laws made by the legislature over the years that prohibit a lot of things we wanted to do with the dogs we couldn't. Like back then, I remember they wanted to take the drug dog up to the school and wander through the building and the lockers and whatever. That was a no-no. You couldn't do that. And at the time back then too, they couldn't even take it in the terminal. I don't know if any of those rules have changed, but so we spent, at the time in Sandpoint, we spent quite a bit of money on the drug dog, but it really didn't pan out for us. And then our drug dog hung itself.
I could find out, Josie. The mayor is right. people have a lot more rights than we think they do. It's worked out somewhat good in King Cove, just the presence. He does meet the airplane. Going and sniffing people's luggage, you know, that's people have rights. I could find out more on that. But it's been helpful in King Cove, just the presence of it being out there. So.
Yeah, and I know Sandpoint's got a terminal versus King Cove and, you know, just the field. So just a thought. Thanks.
Paul?
Yeah, well, as everybody knows, I've been making a list. I've been checking it twice. Most of you are nice. I'm the naughty one. Anyway, so you're all okay for Christmas. Yes.
Amen to that one. Anyone else? Assembly?
I just want to thank everybody and the staff. They've been working hard. I know you're trying to call them. They're very busy. I don't want to call you. But I'd like to thank everybody for all their hard work. And Jackie and Stu in King Cove have been working really hard.
Yep. We're sorry you didn't make it out, Beverly. We heard you tried, but
And I have had so many people, Beverly, saying, "Where is Beverly?"
Yeah. Yes.
Couldn't make it out.
It's a blessing in disguise because the plane canceled yesterday, and that's supposed to be my return flight. I would have been sucked.
Yeah, you've been out here till after Christmas. So, okay, if there's no more comments from the assembly, I already made my comment, and that was to Paul that, hey, my name is on the list behind yours. So, any public comment?
I have one.
Okay.
Here. Everybody,
I'm closer.
Get on
it. You got to get on the record.
Thank you. Candace Nielsen here. Most of all of you know me, have known me all my life. I'm really excited to share my new position over with Allied Corporation as Director of Regional Strategy and Policy. And I just wanted to extend a handshake and saying that you all have a friend at Allied Corporation, and I'm really hopeful that I can help keep a strong partnership and keep a bead on whatever Allied Corporation can be doing in favor of Volusians Eastboro, instead of stepping on toes or doing anything that is not of respect or, you know, beneficial for all. I got to talk to the APIA board yesterday and just introducing myself and my position and letting you guys know that I'm there for you all.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, how long have you been there now?
2 months.
Oh, okay. Brand new.
Who do you report to?
I report to Ethan Tyler, our Lands and Policy Senior Director. And then Ethan is to Scoey, they've included me on all the executive leadership team meetings and keeping me right along with them. So I'm really supported there. I'm really excited. They've really come a long way, I feel. Every week there's something cool coming out. Scoey was just on last month's business magazine. So really putting Allie on the map, and I'm going to be participating in all the Board of Fish meetings, so learning a lot there. Growing up, commercial salmon fishing in Nelson Lagoon, I know one side, fish politics is pretty new, but I'm excited to be another voice to help in the fight.
You learn so much.
Yeah, I'm gonna have so much fun. Good abs. It's been fun so far.
And you guys are in the Conoco, is that where you guys are? Conoco Phillips?
It's the Denali Tower.
Oh, Denali, okay.
Yeah. And if I don't know if any of you noticed yet, but Ali's stamp right
over. Yeah, I saw it. Okay.
It's kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah. What floor are you guys on?
We're on 10th floor.
Nice.
So we're up high. We have an open house tomorrow. Oh. If you guys are still around from 3 to 5. 3 to 5.
Okay.
Come on over. We're going to have.
They're back where they used to be.
Yeah.
So we still own Elliott Plaza. It's completely sound right now. So we're benefiting off of that.
My dentist is in there.
Oh yeah, you have a beautiful view. I do.
That's
pretty cool.
Nice.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other public? Anybody else have any public comments?
Just a quick one, Alvin, to Candace, you can relate to your our bosses, and thanks for the support for the fishing monies that's going to come in handy next month or the month after.
Welcome.
Okay. Hope to adjourn.
Wait, no. I'm not done yet.
Call the question.
Can't adjourn yet. So, next meeting date, January 8th. Put that in your calendar. Now you can make more.
I'll second it.
Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Fun. And from 3 minutes.